The Lord be with you. We'd like to welcome each and every one of you here this morning. We appreciate you being with us here on a very early Sunday in January. A little rainy day, but we're glad you could come out and be with us. I know some of our seniors can't get out because of rain. Be praying for them. If you get a chance, check up on our seniors and shut-ins, because sometimes they just need to hear from somebody and let everybody know that we appreciate them and love them and are thinking about them, because it's a tough time for them to get out. A little scary for those. Our OMGs will meet this Thursday at 6:30, so be aware of that, over in the fellowship hall. Also, the seniors are going on a trip this Wednesday at 9:30. If I understand correctly, they're going to meet here at the church and take off at 9:30. So be aware of all that. Remember our prayer concerns list. There's a lot of people on there. There's no lack of folks to be praying for. So keep everybody in your prayers, if you will. Also, Vicar Jordan will be having his Bible study on Wednesday evening, 6:30. I'll be starting my Bible study back up January 21st, Monday, 10:30 and 7. We'll have communion and prayer and all that. There will be a crock pot meal January 27th to go towards proceeds for the air conditioner fund. Be aware of that. Come on out and join us, and we could use a little help getting that done. Also, there's an adoption fundraiser going to take place. So Jason and Clancy, they're going to adopt a little one, and they've got a good meal planned. That's on February the 2nd. Need to help them out. Unfortunately, adoption is very, 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 very expensive. So they need all the help they can get, because that's a wonderful thing that they are doing. Also, we just want you to remember, the Lutheran service, it's an interactive service. You need to participate. Your participation is your worship. You're worshiping towards God in song, word, and the liturgy. So please participate. Please be an active participant in the liturgy, excuse me, if you will. I think that is all we've got, unless I've missed something. So I guess at this time, let's all stand as we're able for our confession and our forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires are known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Gracious God, have mercy on us. We confess that we have turned from you and given ourselves into the power of sin. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. In your compassion, forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things we have done and things we have failed to do. Turn us again to you, and uphold us by your Spirit, so that we may live and serve you in newness of life, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin, and made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen you with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in your hearts through faith.
To help the poor and needy, and me.
Please be seated if you would. At this time, we have some folks who actually want to join with us and become members of Oregon Church. So we're going to ask Marietta and her girls to come forward, if you would. We're going to see if Raymond and Kay will come forward, and we're going to welcome them into the fellowship here of Oregon Church. So come on up, guys. Don't be shy. Come on up. Come on up. Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Come on up. They're not that scary once you look at them from up here. They're really not. Many blessings. Come on up, girls. Come on up. Now, Raymond and Kay, they've been worshiping with us for some time now and had spoken with me a couple months ago that they might want to join Oregon, and we appreciate you all coming. They're coming to us to transfer from Cross of Christ, and we look forward to ministering with you and worshiping with you and just celebrating the gospel of Jesus with both of you. Thank you all so very much. Give them the right hand of fellowship when you see them. Now, Marietta and her girls have been coming here for quite a while. Now, I know I will not pronounce your last name. How do you pronounce your last name? Weida. I thought it was that, but I thought I'm not the smartest man around. I thought that was, but I knew I'd probably do it wrong. Well, they have been a blessing. These folks have come. These girls have been in Luther League almost every time the doors have been open for that. They've been in church. They're very faithful. And we appreciate them coming. They participated in the Christmas play, did all that, if you didn't notice. And we appreciate you all coming. And she's a pretty good cook, too. She makes some pretty good Italian stuff. And they will be coming to us, Affirmation of Faith. They come from a Catholic background, so there are no memberships there. You're just kind of born into that. But they didn't quite understand how it works, so she asked about it, and we're glad to take them in. And many blessings. We appreciate you all coming. Look forward to ministering with you, worshiping with you, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Give them a round of applause, and thank you all so much. Many blessings. Many blessings. Thank you. Many blessings. Thank you. And please, give them the right hand of fellowship as the service ends. And also, remember this, be friendly when people come in. If you see people, come talk with them. You never know who's going to walk through that door. And it says sometimes we have entertained angels unaware. You never know about that either. That's in Scripture. At this time, I think Vicar Jordan's got some stuff for the children, so you guys come on up. All the kids come on up for the children, sir.
Morning. How are you? Good. Really? Goodness. How are y'all doing? Is everybody doing good? Are you a little tired because it's kind of cloudy outside? I'm a little tired. You're not? Well, that's good. You are? Yeah, I'm a little tired too. But we got some fun stuff to talk about, some good news. Now, what's some of the stuff that we talked about last time? We talked about what Jesus did when he became a human being, and he came down to know what we were going through and to help us in this life, and to what? Forgive us of our sins, so what? So we can do what after our life? Where will we be after our life? Yeah, in heaven, and then when God comes down and restores the earth, then he'll bring his kingdom here, and we'll be with God forever. And so that's really good news, isn't it? Right? But now we have the question of, well, what do we do now? What can we do? Because the Bible is really clear. Does anybody think that we have to do something to have Jesus forgive us of our sins, like be really good? Because we can't. The Bible says that we can't be really good. But God makes us good by putting his Spirit in us and teaching us how to change when we can't change. So what do we do? What can we do then? If we can't save ourselves, then what do we do after Jesus saves us? We don't have to keep getting saved or make sure that we stay saved. Because if Jesus does it, then he's the most powerful person in all the universe. So what's something else that we could do afterwards? What should we do afterwards? Pastor mentioned something about it just a little bit ago. We can worship him. Now, here's what I want you to realize. When we worship God, it doesn't do anything to make us keep our salvation that he saved us. It doesn't do anything to add to our salvation when Jesus saved us. But it is helpful to us, and it's helpful to other people, and God likes it, which is really good, isn't it? Now, I got a question for you. Who's ever hugged a friend or family or mom and dad or grandparents? Who's ever hugged anybody? Yeah, most people, right? Now, we know that when you hug somebody, it's a good thing, isn't it? It's nice to feel loved, right? But could you go without hugging somebody and still stay alive? Yeah, you could. Could you go without eating or drinking water and still stay alive? No, you couldn't. So when we don't worship God, everything might look normal, right? When we don't worship God, it's kind of like giving somebody a hug. It can look normal. Our lives can look like it's okay because we're eating and drinking and staying alive, but we're not really truly living, because whenever you hug somebody or you go and have some friends that you get together with and you have fun, then you really feel real good, don't you? Then you really realize how much you're loved and how much God loves you and how much your family loves you and your friends, right? And so that's kind of what worship is like. It might look like if we don't worship God, it's not really that much of a difference. But when we come here and we sing the songs and we go to children's church and we learn about God and we know who he is and what he's done for us, and we, like I said, sing the songs and pay attention to the different parts of what's going on in worship and hear what the teachers say when they read to us or read it ourselves. When we do those things and we worship God, then we get to really experience life the way he wants us to, which is with him and with other people. And so when we're saved, Jesus sums it up by saying, love God and love one another. So what's some ways we can worship God, right? And we can do that, and that's how we can, you know, love God and show him. And even though it doesn't save us or do anything else, we know that it's helpful to us. But what are some other ways we can love one another too? Anybody think of any? Actually, come in here too. When we come to worship God and we're together, then we get to talk to people, right? And tell them that we love them here in our church family, right? We can do that. That's one way. What's some other ways? Anybody have another way? No? How about if we can help the shut-ins? Remember, Pastor was just talking about the people who can't really come out of their house anymore for different reasons. Sometimes they're lonely and they don't get as many people to visit them or give them a hug. So we can do that, right? Maybe that's something that we can all do together with the youth groups. Does that sound like a good idea? We can go and visit people who don't get many visitors. So that's why I wanted to tell you is now that we're saved, right? Because Jesus did it, so no one's going to change that. Nothing can change that. But then we don't just sit around and think, oh, well, that's nice. We have to go and live our lives as if that salvation that he gives us changes us, and we love God and we love one another. Sound good? That sounds good to me. All right, let's go ahead, have a prayer, and then we'll get a sucker and you can go to Children's Church. Lord, we thank you for all the things that you do for us and for the salvation that you give us and for sending Jesus to become a human and to die for us so we could live forever with you. And we just ask that you guide us now in our lives as people saved by you and to love one another. In your name we pray, amen. All right, y'all, grab a sucker. Please stand if you're able. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' baptism, you declared him to be your beloved Son and set him apart as your agent of grace for your creation. May we who are baptized into his life also be sent as agents of grace in your world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you. The first reading comes to us from the book of Isaiah, the 43rd chapter. Now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you. Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you, I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east, and from the west I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Thus ends the first reading. Let us read responsively Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, you gods, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name.
The voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is upon the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedar trees. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon
skip
like a calf and mount Hermon like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord splits the flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. And in the temple of the Lord, all are crying, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned above the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forevermore.
The Lord shall give strength to his people. The Lord shall give his people the blessing of peace. The second reading comes to us from the book of Romans, chapter 6. What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all, but the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here ends the readings.
Glory to you, O Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, to whom shall we go? You are the voice of eternal life. Hallelujah, Lord.
the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the third chapter. As the people were in expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Christ, John answered them all, saying, I baptize you with water, but he who is mightier than I is coming, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he preached good news to the people. But Herod, the tetrarch, who had been reproved by him for Herodias, his brother's wife, and for all the evil things that Herod had done, addressed this to them all, that he locked up John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased. This is the gospel of the Lord. Please be seated, if you would. I hope that you all will welcome Miss Betty Buckwell. Miss Betty's with us today. We're glad she could come be with us today. We miss you not being able to be here, but we understand that you need to go be with your daughter, but we're glad you're with us today, so welcome, my friend. It is good to see you again. Very good to see you. So I hope everybody will welcome her and greet her before the end of the day as we go home. This gospel text today and most of our texts center around the baptism of our Lord. It is the baptism of our Lord. But within this text, there was something that really popped out to me as I was studying this week and looking over some things. And I think some of you can relate to this. I know some of you will relate to this. How many of you like the old movies, old movies and old shows? You like a lot of the old shows and stuff, especially the cowboy shows. You remember the old cowboy shows? I think most everybody likes the old cowboy shows. You know, The Rifleman and Bonanza and all those good shows and different ones. There's an overarching theme in those shows and in those movies. An overarching theme. The good guys always win. The good guys always win. Now, there was a song written a while back and sung by the country singer, Alan Jackson. And he actually threw that on its head because we all know that good guys don't always win. He says, heroes don't die. Cowboys, they don't ever cry. And love always wins again and again. But he says, here in the real world, it's not that easy at all. You see, sometimes the good guys don't always win. And in our text, our gospel text today, we see one good guy who did not win. He ends, in the end, he wins. But he loses the battle. And that's John the Baptist. John the Baptist. I would think John the Baptist would rank with a good guy. You know, in the old movies, you could about tell because you could about tell who the outlaws were, just the way they made them look. And the outlaws always wore black hats, and they always looked rough and everything. And the good guys, they always wore a white hat, and they looked a little better, you know. Think the Lone Ranger and people of that nature. You could almost tell. But in the real world, it's a little harder to tell who the good guys are and the bad guys are sometimes. But in this text, we see John the Baptist, one of the greatest people who has ever lived, outspreading the good news of the coming of Jesus. He is here, the forerunner. He is baptizing people, and he's doing lots of things. And he is also doing something that has to be done from time to time. He also is telling the truth. And a lot of times people don't want to hear the truth, and they don't like it. Herod, Herodias, they are evil people. Sometimes, unfortunately, evil people like them. They did in this case, because what do they do to John? John tells them the truth. This is not to be. You're not to have your brother's wife, Herod. He tells the truth. And then he is in prison. And finally, his head is cut off. He is executed for telling the truth, for doing what God put him on this earth to do, Go back to the Christmas story and look. God put him on this earth to do what he was doing. There were, you know, he looked rough. He was all those things, but he did what God called him to do. And it cost him his very, very life. Evil sometimes wins. The bad sometimes wins. It happens in life. You say, well, preacher, you're a little bit crazy. Okay, let's think about this thing for just a moment. We have a few veterans of this left in our midst. I don't know that any of them are here today, but World War II. There were millions and millions and millions of people. They say around 6 million Jews were killed because of a crazy man by the name of Adolf Hitler. Actually, crazy, evil, evil human being. Evil won. The bad guys won. The good guys lost. Kind of morbid to think about. The Apostle Paul, probably the greatest preacher to ever walk God's green earth besides our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is in prison. He's shipwrecked. There's other things that happened to the great Apostle Paul. But in the end, Paul finds himself in prison. He finds himself being executed because of what he did. The good guys lost. The bad guys won. Peter, legend says he was crucified upside down. As a matter of fact, all the original 12, except for John, they say, died a martyr's death. They say that Bartholomew, if I understand correctly, was skinned alive. He says he was filleted, skinned alive. Others were executed, crucified in different ways. And even John, the beloved, who they say died of a natural death, was supposedly boiled in hot oil several times. He had his eyes gouged out and was exiled to the Isle of Patmos. Kind of sounds like the good guys didn't win that time either, did they? But unfortunately for us, this is not a cowboy movie. This is not a feel-good thing where the good always win and the bad don't. In here in the real world, as Alan Jackson says, it's not that easy at all. Bad things happen. Evil wins. But now let's go to the rest of the story, a la Paul Harvey. Yes, it does win the battle. John lost the battle, but he won the war. Paul lost the battle, but he won the war. And most certainly, Jesus won the battle. He won the battle and the war altogether. He was crucified. What do we see happen to the evil who have done these things to the good people? Herod and Herodias, do you know what happened? Their evil got them in so much trouble later on that they were exiled themselves out of the land. Some say they were sent to Lyon, which would be modern-day France, or maybe into Spain. They're not quite sure. But they were exiled, and they lost their nice, pleasant living that they were getting. Those people that persecuted Paul, those that stood by, who executed Stephen and others and all the disciples, their lives, they either were converted to Christ or their lives were a total, absolute mess. As a matter of fact, you can go back and you can look at what happened to Hitler. There was a great man, a great theologian, Dr. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, a Lutheran, by the way, who just a few mere days before Hitler took his own life, a lonely, beaten, broken man, and he should have been in a bunker, was executed. But here's the difference between Dietrich Bonhoeffer and Hitler, and the difference between John the Baptist and Herod and Paul and his executioners and all the others. Here's the difference. In the end, they won through love, where these, their lives, were destroyed. You see, Dietrich Bonhoeffer himself showed so much love and so much concern as a prisoner in the camps that The Nazi guards actually apologized to him for locking him up. They had to apologize because his witness for Christ was so difficult. The Nazi doctor who witnessed his execution and who had witnessed thousands of executions, so this was nothing for him to witness, remarked in his little commentary that he had never seen a human being go to their death with such grace and honor as he saw Dr. Bonhoeffer go. Dr. Bonhoeffer knelt down, he prayed, and they didn't have to drag him to the gallows. He walked himself there and stuck his own head in the noose. You know why? Because he understood, yeah, they're winning this battle right here in this life, but I've won the war. He won the war. How did he win it? By being a disciple of Christ, by spreading the love of Jesus, by spreading the gospel. The point of this whole thing is, yes, evil may win from time to time, and it may gain an upper hand. But know this, nothing in this world will stop the love of Christ, nor will it stop the gospel of Jesus. It will continue on. Scripture says the gates of hell will not prevail upon the church. Is the church weary? Yeah. Is the church beaten a little bit? Yeah. Is the old ship taking on some water, as the song says? Yeah. Taking on some water. You've been beaten by the winds. And you know what? And sometimes there are even those who come in the inside and want to destroy the church. We have those too, from the outside and from within. But guess what? She's beaten, she's worn. But the ship's going to sail. It's going to move forward. Evil may win the day, but it will never win a battle for the whole war. It'll win a battle now, never win the entire war. God's name, His love, His word, His church, His gospel will prevail. It will continue on. So no matter what happens to us, understand this. I'm not asking for bad things to happen to anyone here, but no matter what happens to us, as long as we do what we are called to do, and as long as we push the gospel forward, as long as we move the love of Christ forward, it will not die when we die. It will continue on, and it will grow. It will expand, and it will go to where it needs to. Herod couldn't stop it. The executioners that day couldn't stop it with Paul. They couldn't stop it with Stephen. They didn't stop it with the other apostles. They certainly didn't stop it when they killed Jesus. And they can't kill it if we'll continue to do what God has called us to do. Now let us confess our faith with the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. And now let us pray for this world and all of God's great creation. Most precious God, we thank you for the baptism of Jesus, that he was baptized for all righteousness, so that we too might be righteous, so that we too might live a righteous life. We thank you for coming to us as a babe in a manger and emptying yourself, as the book of Hebrews says, to become just like us, a person, a human being, a man. We thank you for coming to be here and to show us the way, to lead and to guide us, to show us what it means to be a true disciple. And Lord, I pray today that we all might be your disciples fully in our hearts and in our lives, and that we might spread this thing called the way of Jesus, to not only this church, this community, this world. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we thank you for all that you've done for each and every one of us. We're a blessed people. We truly are. We live in the greatest country the world has ever seen. We thank you for that. We thank you for the blessing that you have bestowed upon each and every one of us. We pray, God, that you would continue to bless this church. You would bless this nation. You would bless this great state. You would bless our county. And God, that you might bless the people. We do have our problems, God. It does seem that drug abuse is running rampant. People who are suffering from mental illness and other things are sometimes left wanting. There is homelessness. There is hunger. The Lord knows that there is much strife and upheaval. But I pray today, and we all pray, that you might bless and continue to touch. Where food is needed, you would provide food. Where peace is needed, you would provide peace. God, where a touch from you is needed, you would provide it. Lord, in your mercy. Father God, we pray for all who are sick and hurting among us. Some mourn, some grieve, some are sick, some suffer, some have ailments, God, that they have dealt with for many years. We pray, God, that you might comfort those who mourn, grieve, that you might be with each and every one who is sick, who is suffering at this time. And for those, God, who are suffering ailments, really it seems there is no end. We pray you might give comfort and peace. Help them as only you can. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, Almighty Father, we commend to you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, all that we pray. Now we pray the way our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. And now may the Lord's face shine upon you, the Lord be gracious to you, and give you his peace. His
mercy. Come, my children, with my mercy, ever, ever.
now go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.